Broadcasting 2.0 for December 13, 2024, episode 204. Here comes the Universal App. Hello, everybody. As we get closer to Christmas, I don't know. We're all just seem to be happier. Don't you agree? It is time for Podcasting 2.0. This is where we talk all things podcasting, the past, the present, and the future. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that serves Grandma's special eggnog during the season. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who eats enterprise software for breakfast and spits it out at lunchtime. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones. No, 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 no. Hello, no, 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 my friend, Mr. Dave Jones. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
It was, you had a tough week, man.
The beginning was tough.
Yeah.
The ending is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beginning was, you know, day job software meltdowns, but we survived. The vendor is fixing things. We're in better shape.
Whenever you take the time to post on podcastindex.social that something's going on, and I think you posted enterprise software is the worst or something.
Yeah.
Let me see. No,
it is.
And that's it. You know, it's just like a random, you know, just like a like a Tourette's move. You're like, just blast something out onto. Like, I just need to share this with people who will understand my pain.
Yeah, because just having bloop 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 about four or five likes come through makes you feel better. It de-stresses.
Do you see those? Do you see those? Because when you hit the little on the Mastodon, you hit the little star button. Do you follow those? Do you watch those in your notifications when that happens? I just wonder if people do that. Yeah,
I do. I've got I don't know how other people use likes or favorites or whatever you call it in the Mastodon world, but or ActivityPub world, but I use them when I don't really have time, or maybe the thing that I'm responding to is not, maybe it doesn't need a reply,
right,
or I don't have time to reply, and I just want to let the other person know that I saw it.
Yes, that's what I do as well. I just wondered if people actually view it that way. So you do, that's good.
I don't know. Yeah, I tend to see that's what other people are doing.
Yeah.
But they may not be using it in the same way. I may be misinterpreting their results.
I like Bemrose in the boardroom. Nobody knows how to use likes in the Mastodon world. No, I think you're probably right. No one knows.
Right.
No one knows how that thing works.
Nobody knows what they're supposed to be.
No.
Okay.
Hey, I had a brainwave before we started the show, and I just wanted to share it.
Okay.
I was listening to the homework power. I was listening to Pod News Weekly Review, hoping to hear something about Dave Weiner, but apparently they cut all that out of the show.
Oh, wait, they talked about it and then cut it?
Yeah, pussies. I wonder if it's going to be in the, wait, is it in the Pod News?
The extended edition?
Yeah, what is it? Pod News Extra?
The director's cut.
Pod News. I wonder if they left it in the Pod News Extra. Let me see. No. Okay. All right. Well, oh, wait. Wait. From the cutting room floor? No. No. Anyway.
Whatever feed that's in is the same one where the other 6 hours of Brian's Hive Talk is. They're in the same place.
That's the one. Yeah. No, yeah. But it was about Apple's podcast. And that they have made it progressive web app compatible.
I'm glad you brought this up because I've got thoughts on that too.
Okay.
No, you go.
No, actually, because we've been dealing with progressive web apps in our project. Mm-hmm. Why don't you? I wouldn't mind if you went first, and then I can give you my brainwave because it just might excite you.
I mean, I didn't have anything super important other than just like. I guess mine was more of a political take on it. It just makes me laugh that was their answer to getting something onto the Android App Store without paying the Google Play Store tax.
Right, right.
Was by doing a PWA, which is exactly what people have to do to get onto get around their tax. It's just like this implicit acknowledgement that that the whole thing's just a ripoff. I wondered on the technical side of things, I didn't hear them say whether it was an offline, whether it was offline capable.
No, it's not.
Because that's a big, so there's a difference between just being a PWA and being a PWA, like a full function PWA where you have offline capability, because that requires what's called a service worker. And that's a more complicated.
We used to have those in Amsterdam. They had red lights in their windows. Is that something different?
They take sats now.
Oh, yeah,
you can queue nice. Up. Okay. Bolt 11. Yeah, you can pay with Bolt 11.
Bolt 11. Please, yes. What kind of wallet do you have, service worker? Sorry, got to go to the next window.
L and your LP.
Well, so. You know, and I'm thinking about this, and yes, I understand that what they're doing and why they did it, but it hit me like a lightning bolt because, you know, with the project we're working on, I've been showing people how to install, the Godcaster as a progressive web app. And you can see that when you say, oh, is it an app? I say, yeah, let me install it for you. And I do it. And then they're like, oh, great. I don't know how you did that. I wasn't paying attention. By the way, oh man, I've learned just from time to time, you should ask someone to do something and watch how they do this on their phone. So they're like, okay, so how do I get to this? And I'll give the boardroom to you. I say it's hellofred.fm and they'll open up DuckDuckGo.
And search for hellofred.fm.
And just type in hellofred.fm.
Actually, I'm going to do that.
Of course, right now it's just a URL forwarding, so it goes to mp3.nashownotes.com. So that's completely useless because it doesn't show up in search. But people, it seems like people are losing the understanding of a URL. They're just going to, and it's either that or it's a Google app. They're not even opening Safari. They're not even typing it into an address bar. They're just, I got DuckDuckGo, which is also a browser. And
Can I stop the flow? Stop my important information?
Yes.
Okay. Stop your important information because I have more important information.
your information always supersedes my important information.
Why does your Hello Fred have two players in it?
Two players.
I don't understand this.
Two players.
For me, it does.
Let me see.
This is totally inside baseball at this point, but I'm very, like, I have two.
No, I only, oh, that's interesting.
What is that?
I don't know.
What does your outline look like?
This is not an outline. This is a static file.
Have you somehow pasted the code twice or something?
That's very possible. Hold on a second. That's interesting.
It's like there's two players in here.
Yeah, I had not even noticed that. Hold on a second.
yeah, Chad F. said he sees two also.
This is no good. Hold on a second. What's going on here? Well, now we have to stop the show.
Yeah, stop the show.
What's the hellofred.html? Hold on a second. Where is this thing? It's very possible that I did something stupid like that. Let me open it up. Edit with Notepad +++. Let's see.
How'd you get Notepad +++? I only have Notepad +++. Must be a later version.
So, Dave, if you do me a favor and just take a look at that HTML file that it points to.
Okay.
Content with
page source.
Player assets.
This is old code.
Oh.
You need to paste, you need to grab a fresh copy of the player code.
Oh, well, that explains it. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Now, where do I put this?
This is actually really old, actually.
No wonder people are like, how does this thing work? I don't understand what this thing is that you built. It makes sense.
This is pre, production.
So I just do the divs in the body. That's where I do it.
If you just go to your widget your player preview page and do copy player code, it'll give you what to paste in there.
Right. But I'm looking at the, what do you mean? I don't understand what you just said.
Like on your dashboard.
But where do I put it in that page? Do I put it in the body between the body tags?
Yeah. In the body.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I meant. Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. We're doing this on the fly. We're doing it live. Let's watch it update live in real time. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he says,
I'm hitting refresh.
Okay, let's see. Refresh.
I'm going to do a hard refresh.
Yeah, I'm doing a hard refresh too.
No, Control-Shift-R for the uninitiated.
It's still doing the same thing, I think.
You caching somewhere?
I might be. I don't know.
Well, you got old code.
Well, I just put the new code in.
Yeah, but it's still not updated.
Let me look at a local copy. Yeah, the local copy works, so it's probably caching.
Okay.
Yeah, local copy works.
Hard R. Yeah, hard R.
Anyway, so thank you for alerting me to that minor issue. Let me see what does it do in the Progressive Web App. Yeah, no, it's good there, of course. All right, so I'm watching this nightmare unfold, right? Of how mm-hmm. people, just in general, a web browser doesn't even seem to be in people's mind anymore. Like, I'm not going to type in "Hello, Fred." FM. No, I'm just going to search for everything. But I'm safe because I got DuckDuckGo. And so I'm just like, wow, the end of the web is near.
Safe. Yeah. I don't know how to use a URL, but I know I'm safe because I'm using DuckDuckGo.
So then I realized, and I tried this out on Tina, and we have been looking at this all wrong. We have been psyoped by Apple and others into this progressive web app. Because of course, when I said to Tina, "You know, a progressive web app," she said, I'm never gonna use that. That's a bunch of lefties," she said. "I'm not using a progressive web app." That was her interpretation. Okay. She'd never even heard of the term.
This has all been a yes. political psyop.
Yes. I'm like, well, this is no good. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. And I said, well, what do you think?
I don't want your left-wing app.
I don't want your lefty app. I'm not interested in that. She doesn't want a righty app either. But I said, so what do you think a universal app is? She said, oh, that's an app that I can install on any device anywhere.
And no, that's the app where everybody that uses it goes to heaven.
No, listen, now you ruined universal, my...
That's
you,
the universalist app.
You ruined my whole reveal.
Oh, sorry.
If you say to someone who has no idea, we have a universal app. Well, what is that? Oh, this app works on any phone. You don't have to worry about updates. It synchronizes across your phones. You can have it on an Android, on an Apple, on a Windows, on a Mac, on your tablet, on your iPad. You don't have to worry about, once you install it, you don't have to worry about anything. It synchronizes and it's good to go forever. You never have to log into your app store. Well, how do I do it? You install it like this. And on every single browser, this is the thing that they screwed up. When you go to either save to home screen or save to desktop, it literally says install. And thanks to that, people believe that they just installed an app. But it's not any app. No, this mm-hmm. is better than the App Store. It's a universal app. Oh, I want that. Why do you want that? It's a pain in the butt. I got to go download an app from my iPad. I have to download an app for Windows and for Mac. I can just do this once and it synchronizes anywhere. Yes, that's a universal app. So I think we just get rid of this PWA name and just call it a universal app.
The name Progressive Web App is a horrible name, honestly. Because that's, what does it even mean?
Exactly.
Nobody even knows what it means. What does it mean to people? Like, it's like a progressive JPEG. Do you remember those?
Progressive. It was a progressive GIF, I think it was.
Yeah, where it just like loads in a little bit at a time.
Would take
so he
forever,
starts out blurry.
It would take forever to see her boobs. Everybody over 40 understands this joke.
for the first few seconds, it's like watching scrambled HBO, you know. Yeah.
Everybody over 40 understands that joke too. Scrambled HBO, who remembers that?
So it's a terrible name because nobody understands the progressive, you know, what the word progressive means, that it's going to load, you know, this is going to load part, you know, parts at a time or whatever. It's like,
so,
what is that even?
So, here,
no,
so here's my question.
Understands this nomenclature.
Here's my question. So when you hit a web page that you can install as a universal app, I believe uh-huh. there's a way to trigger a pop-up that says install this. I've seen it happen. I don't, and maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just, I've seen it and people just doing it and it's not an actual way to try. I don't know what it is,
but you're saying that you don't know how that install,
how that thing triggers. Pops up? Well, I what I would love is if it says, I mean, if you have I'm just going to call it universal app. I'm never calling it a PWA ever again. If you have a universal app that you want people to install, which does require a small tweak on the web page, you want to have, now the thing that's a little complicated is all the different ways that browsers install this. Some call it save to desktop. Some call it, you know, iOS calls it save to home screen. Yet you get to it from a share menu. Is there any way to bypass that first step so that you just get that boom install screen?
Okay, the install. Let me.
So on so in iOS and iOS, you have to hit your share button and you scroll down. It says
and add it says, to home screen.
Add to home screen. But then when you add to home screen, I think it actually uses the word install, doesn't it?
No.
Oh, Android does. Android does.
Android does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Android does. iOS, you share sheet, add to home screen, done. That's all you get. Android, add to, you know, Android, you do the same thing you do. I think it's, I forgot what the, actually, I got my phone here. Hold on. Let's see.
I mean, we think we need to attack this nonsense, these app stores head on by just saying, and it, of course, it doesn't work for every single app because a lot of apps need native features. But for the stuff we're doing, install this as a universal app and put it right there. One app works everywhere. Never log into an app store again. Syncs across all of your devices. Don't worry. Updates are automatic. Never have to do that. Never log into the app store. I know on iOS, I see people complaining all the time. I got to get my password. Oh, I got to use my, got to look at my face. You know, it's like the app store is always asking you to re-authenticate. So I want to take the pain that they're providing and use the universal app as something that's far superior.
And I can tell you, I'm on the phone right now, and I can immediately tell you why nobody knows what a URL is anymore. Because this, so I'm on the Android phone. This is Android, 14 or something like that. And if I launch Chrome, what I get is a start page, and there's a box. I'm looking for the address bar. There's no bar.
Really?
You just get a box that says. In the input box, it just says search or type URL.
Right.
So it's all the what do they call it? The universal browser box or something like that. That's what they've renamed the what we used to call the address bar.
Right. Right.
Is now called something new. They've got a word for it. It's like the universal box or something. And it munges together search and the Omnibar, that's it. Thank you.
Gotcha. Omnibar.
The Omnibar. It munges search and addresses together into one incomprehensible.
But not at the top. Input. It does it in the middle.
Yes. It's not even at the top or the bottom. It's just kind of like, you're like, what? What?
Right. Let's see. Right. Well, on Chrome, Windows, it has a bar at the top. And this is very, very interesting what they've done here. They have Chrome :// what's dash new, which I guess is their homepage. Anyway, I just thought, and if anyone can really experiment with this, it's Sam Sethi with True Fans, and I would say Ellen Beats, and there's a couple others. I mean, just positioning it as this is a universal app. Here's how to install it. No app store needed. I think if you even say that, no app store needed, people might see that as a benefit. Oh, no app store needed. Oh, okay. I'll do that. Because in your head, you know, if I want it on my tablet, I have to install it again from the app store. I have to get a different version. All this different stuff. It's just positioning. And I think we've been looking at it incorrectly.
Okay. Your Hello Fred is fixed. Looks proper now.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, good.
It looks right now. So I'm going to the PWA. So let me go. It's add to home screen. Same terminology on Android. Okay. And then on Android, after you hit that, it pops up and it says you get two options. You get install or create shortcut. And so if you tap install, that's when you can just drag it right on.
Yeah, yeah, that works.
And the button
well.
Says install.
Install, which is beautiful, beautiful. So anyway, I'm just thinking it's language. It's just language. It's just a screen or a page or something, and explains the benefits of why you want to install a universal app, and then just put it in there. I think the same people who don't know what an address bar is, I think that we can psyop them right back into thinking, I want a universal app that I can also install on my, I can install the same app on my Windows machine. That's never been possible. You can install it on your iPhone and your Windows machine.
Edge is a pretty good PWA.
Yes.
Experience.
And people, because, people don't think about these things the way we do. We're so deep into it, knowing what a PWA is and what it can and can't do. And we're just thinking about app stores and to have the same app on most people at least in a business environment, we'll probably have a Windows machine. Or, there's a high likelihood people have an iPhone and a Windows machine.
Mm-hmm.
But even the difference between not all apps on your iPhone are available on your Mac desktop. That's an entirely different app altogether. So that is my word of the day. Universal app.
That's actually a pretty good lead in to something that I was thinking about. I mean, you're talking about Dave Weiner and the open source communities and this kind of thing. And I saw Russell from Pod2 posted this morning about, he was upset about things, and that, he mentioned something about splitting the community. And it just got me thinking about this, about this whole topic, because I had a good call with, and I want to talk about what me and Oscar talked about yesterday as well. I had a good call with Oscar yesterday because we were trying to, come to some conclusion, or trying to figure out what to do about what Boomy from Albi was talking about with the LN addressed options file spec. But sort of related to that, when I saw Russell's thing, the first thought that I had was, splitting communities doesn't really happen unless you have sort of a self-proclaimed leader of self-proclaimed leaders in those communities that kind of lean into their egos and then do something negative. And I'm not concerned about things being, splitting the podcasting 2.0 community, because we don't have any leaders. Nobody's in charge. And when you don't have any leaders, even self-proclaimed ones, the splitting doesn't happen. So, it's just this sort of libertarian Hydra thing that we have going on, here, where nobody's really in charge. We just kind of duke it out and then figure out, and then something emerges and sort of quote unquote wins. And it's not always what makes everybody happy, but it's just the way that it goes. And that's just true with open source. I mean, open source is I heard a talk by Thomas DiLorenzo one time where he was talking about
who is Thomas DiLorenzo?
He's an Austrian economist. I think he was at George Mason University.
Must be a Bitcoiner.
I don't think so. No, I think he's a gold standard guy. But he was talking about the nature of the firm, you know, just the, you know, companies in general and monopoly and antitrust. That's his big sort of topic, is monopoly and antitrust. And he describes competition within a firm as, because, you know, he's setting up this nature, like you have competition between firms in a market, but then you also have this competition that takes place inside of a firm where, and he calls it like this dynamic rivalrous process. And I always, that phrase always stuck with me, a dynamic rivalrous process. That's what open source communities are.
Mm.
They're a dynamic rivalrous process in search of a single standard. You know, getting from 2, 3, 10, 27 ideas to eventually get to a protocol reference or a standard is unbelievably messy and sometimes, frankly, impossible. Sometimes you try to go through this dynamic rivalrous process of people having differences of opinions and proposing different protocols and that kind of thing, and you really never can come to a conclusion where everybody's on board. That's also a thing that happens. That's why we do it. Honestly, we do it. People who love open source, we don't just do it because we like software or coding or standards or anything like that. I mean, like, if there was not a rivalry sort of competitive process to it, it would not be as enticing and as fun as it is. People who love open source are like hot rodders. Hot rodding versus like just modding or restoring. So like if you're a person who likes tinkering with cars, you might like, and you want to put some more, you know, 100 more horsepower in your Mitsubishi Mirage or something like that. You know, you may go to a bunch of websites and find some parts that somebody told you to get on a forum, and you buy them and you install them on the weekend. Okay, that's fine. You're kind of a car guy, but that's not what hot rodders do. You know, hot rodders don't have the luxury of buying off the shelf parts most of the time. So we like the truck I drove to work this morning was my wife's 67 F-250.
Brr.
This thing is a 67.
It's got Ford. A blower. It's got a blower on the hood, doesn't it? She's got a blower. Tell me she's got a blower.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
It is a 4.6. There's a 460 in it. with a cam,
mm-hmm.
With an aftermarket cam. And this thing will do easily 150 miles an hour. It is terrifying.
It rips the bricks right out of the pavement, I bet, when you take off in that thing.
It is so scary. 25% throttle on the highway and you're doing 70.
Wow.
It is unreal. And the thing is, it's got a 460 out of a 1974 in it. So it's a 67 truck with a 74 engine. We're already getting off the reservation here.
Kind of.
You go into the parts shop and you're like, I need this flex plate and they're like, okay, what year? I'm like, well, which one do you want? The one for the truck or the one for the engine? Like you're already, so if you're doing that, you know, if you're a hot rodder and you're mixing matching, let's say you want to put a 4R70W out of a 95 onto a 460 from a 74. Well, you better be ready to go to the machine shop and break out the micrometer.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some stuff.
Yeah, there's not going to be a flex plate that exists that will interface that crankshaft to that torque converter. So you are literally going to have to build it from scratch. That's what open source is.
Well, I wanted to say something about Dave Weiner. It applies to Russell because I've identified for over 20 years. I've identified Dave Weiner has a bug. He has a software bug. It's in his processing, and I've tried to understand it. I've tried to route around it. I'm very happy he has this bug because that's how you and I met 15 years ago.
Yep. Amen.
And amen indeed. And it's a conspiracy loop. He believes the world is against him at all times, forever. Big companies are out to steal his ideas. You know, people are running away. It's a loop. I've seen him go through it. Luckily, he writes a lot, so you can see the loop happening over and over and over again. So when he complains about the name, that's just an excuse for him to not engage in a project that, in fact, he is not in charge of. That is exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
When he's not in charge, or someone says something that makes them look like they want to be a leader, where they're just contributing or throwing out an idea, the loop kicks in. And I've seen this over and over and over again. And so when he said, well, podcasting too, it's insult, whatever he said, that's the name of this podcast. People have picked it up and colloquially use the term for what we're doing, but it's podcastindex.org, it's podcastindex.social, the namespace is at podcastindex-org at GitHub. There's nowhere does it say that this is a podcasting 2.0 community. It's just a crutch. It's just an excuse for him not to participate because he's not given what he says. He wants a leadership role. My software, I want to do it. I run it. That's what he does. And it's not malicious. It's just a bug. And so when he says OPML predates all this stuff, well, yeah, okay. So does cassette tapes. You know, it's like, by the way, OPML, that's where you and I met. We love the format. We even built a namespace for it called SOPML. People might want to look that up. It's a phenomenal. The first index at ipodder.org, the first podcast index, was a hyperlinked outline processor markup file, an OPML file, which was just spectacular to use. I mean, you literally could paste in nodes of stuff that other people maintained, and I love that. And it was so exciting because things would update down the line. It was basically one big directory outline that multiple people could work on. And as you and I were in, I forget what the group was, and we had instant outlining where all of a sudden you'd hear a bleep and a node would glow, and that would be an outline where you could write stuff and it would have automatically updated and I could see what you had just written in an outline form. I think in outlines. I think
real-time chat.
Yeah.
I think an outline.
A lot of developers think in outlines because that's, you know, code is kind of outline in a way, and folder hierarchies are outlines. And we built software. So we were using that. And I don't remember what it was. Probably something I said. And then he just pulled the plug on the whole thing. Like, I'm done. People try to take it away from me. This bug is unstoppable. Only he can troubleshoot and fix that bug. So it is exactly what you're saying. When there's no leader, some people have this bug and they don't get it and they're frustrated and think that, you know, the leaders are working behind the scenes. It's a conspiratorial loop. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again, and it's incompatible with what we're doing. Again, I'm very pleased that that because of that, you and I met. And so we built the Freedom Controller completely based on OPML. Not once. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows is there. He never looked at it. He doesn't care. Yeah, he never looked at the stuff we're doing. He's never looked at podcastindex.org, which is some of the stuff he's advocated for over and over and over again. But he's not in the Leadership Council, whatever that is, the Starfleet Command. So it's not
easy.
And
we're not either. That's the
point. No, that's the point. So it's not easy for everybody to comprehend that. But I've given up on trying to fix people like that. And in a way, this, so you know, this, because James, then I should have warned James. I didn't know he was going to do it. I said, don't, you're wasting your breath to go and tell Dave Weiner to look at a GitHub about something that he invented a whole long time ago and try to tell him it's good because it has the same outcome. Because he's like, I wasn't consulted. That's basically what he said. And by the way, you're insulting me and you're trying to hijack stuff. I've heard this for 20 years from him. And I still love him. He is a child of God, so I can't see him any other way than that. And I love him, but we may just not be able to work with him. But OPML versus Podroll, the way we have it implemented, yeah, it's like Betamax versus VHS. Guess what? Betamax definitely was superior. What, V2000, the P2000, the Philips system was superior. VHS won. Give it up. You know, that's where all the porn guys started to release on VHS. And so it was the content, as usual, that drives it. So if people are publishing, and that's even, we adhere to Dave Weiner's rules for standards makers. The name doesn't matter. It's like right at the top.
Yeah. It's one of the first ones.
So, yeah, and if something's working, then it's working.
The other one is interop is all that matters.
Yes.
Interop is the thing that you, that is the crux that you can't control. And this is always there where open go. Source hits the rocks.
Yep.
Is where, so like right now we have, and this is apropos to what Russell is talking about and doing as well, because he's building software for Boostgram metadata and that kind of thing. And I think, and that's where a lot of where he got frustrated with is, but you can't, you can build stuff, but you can't control the outcome. That's the issue, and that's really the heart of it. So you've got, Fountain and Wavelake, who are big players and in the value for value Bitcoin ecosystem, and they're pushing forward with Nostr because that's the thing that fits the system that they've built, and they believe in that protocol and they believe in that system, and they're going to push through with that. And then you have other people. Alex has proposed a spec for the Boost metadata tag in the feed, and then a protocol to go along with that. And you have Russell, who's building his software. I forgot the name of it. It's like a
Pod 2.
Yeah, that's the company. But I mean, it's like LBG or something like that. I can't remember.
BGL.
BGL. Okay. So you got people building different things that are trying to do the same thing or similar things. And you can't, and various people within a community are going to align themselves with the thing that they think makes the most sense, or the thing that fits the thing they already did. And you can't control the outcome. So there's this sense that you build it and you advocate for it, but then you always end up having to sit back and just hope that it takes root.
Yes.
And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I'll tell you how it does. And I've said this time and time again. It always comes down to the content. So I guarantee you, whatever Stephen Bell builds and puts into Sovereign Feeds, I'm going to use, because I can't hack something together. So when I have content and I'm publishing content, and by publishing content, that's just not my MP3 files. That's my entire RSS feed. That's my content, and how I want it, what I want it to do is my content. Now, if enough people are interested in my content, they will want to read and parse my content. It always comes down to that, no matter how many spiffy demos we have. That, and I'll say that is what has driven this community from day one. If you recall, we started this, and it was a lot of frustration, mainly from my side, and Martin came in, Martin from Denmark, and he tried to build basically what Stephen Bell did. He tried to build a publishing system that sucked in your existing feed and then allowed you to add the new namespace tags and pump it out. And it was very difficult. It was a very complicated thing. And Stephen Bell came in and whatever you know special processing he has in his brain, he was able to put it together. And so, as far as I can tell, we have driven whatever Stephen Bell put in there, but not always his ideas, by the way. I mean, he has stuff in there from other people that hasn't taken root yet, but it's in there, and it's not all his stuff, but publishing matters.
Well, so, you know, Stephen's a good example, and I talked about, you know, me and Oscar talked about this yesterday, is Stephen put in the chat attribute.
Yes.
Into the live item tag, which was not in the spec.
No.
But because, so he, there's two things with Stephen. He put that in when it was not in the spec, and that really solved a problem, and people picked it up. It was a quick solution to a real problem, picked it up, got the job done. We have a real spec for it now, but that got the job done.
Yep.
The other thing he did was with the real time with live streams with socket.io. We still don't have a real
a spec. We don't have a spec solution for that. We don't have a spec. Right.
There is no spec for now. There's a spec for the format of the messages you receive, but there's no spec for how you construct the socket. The delivery, the transmission protocol is not defined. So he's still using socket.io and people are tapping into that. And I hope we can standardize something, but it's gotten on the back burner for a long time. But that's just a couple of examples of how when things just naturally get a momentum and they just go and you can't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
We had, when I was talking to Oscar yesterday, we talked about, what are we going to do? Because, I was confused by Boomy's email when he said that, he wasn't, I don't know. I don't even want to quote him because I was just confused evidently because he said that that's not what he was saying. I thought he was saying that Albie would not support the LN address options lookup file, but that's evidently not what he meant. So that's fine. But so originally, let me give the conclusion first. The conclusion is I think what we're going to do is just scrap the LN address options dot well known file. Instead, we're just going to have the original proposal for Lightning Address was this. It was just add another value recipient type with the LN address option, and that will refer to a Lightning Address, which is a Bolt 11 LN URLP lookup.
Which is interestingly what I already have in my sovereign feeds, which is already working.
Okay. So that what we tried to do was the original idea was Lightning Address was going to be that just a way to interface with LN URLP.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. We transitioned to this LN Address options lookup file because Roy came in and said, "Hey, why don't we take this opportunity to future proof all this stuff and create a sort of abstraction layer where we can have an options file that you can look up and see how to pay somebody, and it can have keysend or Bolt 11 or Bolt 12 or mm-hmm. whatever comes in the future." That seemed like a lot of people liked that idea. I liked that idea, and he seemed to think that we could get it into the LN URL spec. But then, you know, the reality though, and I agree with Boomy on this, and is there's just probably not going to be any support for it on the broader wallet front.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the hesitancy on Albie's part because they're like, well, you know, I mean, I think what Boomy was saying is yes, we will begrudgingly support this, but I don't like it because I don't think anybody else is going to because this stuff is already built and we know what sort of entrenchment looks like.
Mm-hmm.
In a spec or a standard. And that's, and you know what, and he's right. So basically, if you're, so the saving grace here is if you were building to the LN address options file already, then if you were building to that spec, you were already having to do a sort of a check and say, all right, does this backend support the options lookup? Yes or no. If not, fall back to LN URLP. If so, look up the options file.
Right.
Well, now you can just get rid of that check.
Right. You just go. You can just look at type.
Right. Yeah. So now, you don't have to look, have a list of supporting hosts and this kind of thing. It's just a straight LN URLP all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just go forward with that. And, you know, hope that in the future, if some sort of Bolt 12 thing happens, that the LN URLP spec will itself update to handle that. And we will just get that for free.
Okay. Well, and I think that's what created the most confusion was the LN address part. It's in we don't have to go into the history of it, but it's interesting where it came from initially as to the people who don't really want it right now. I'm all for this. That seems like a simple, elegant solution.
And okay, so Stephen B is asking, is the type LN URLP or node? No, the type is still going to be LN address because it's just,
It's
still
a
Lightning address.
Oh, so we deal with, okay, so no changes. You still call it LN address when
LN address.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah, the LN address is still is that terminology is not going to change for the type. You're just going to be doing it. You're just going to know ahead of time when you see that it's going to be a Bolt 11 LN URLP lookup.
Got it. All right. So I say disregard my dumb comment. Stephen B. Okay. There we go. Well, that's okay, good. I feel like, you know, something is moving now. It feels like we're moving ahead. And I see a lot of positive wordage around the Alex Gates metadata solution. Am I saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the MetaBoost.
Or tag. Boost metadata, whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so briefly, how does that work? What exactly?
So, you know, I talked about this with Oscar a little bit too, and, you know, they really want to do the Noster NIP, thing. And, you know, I was like, hey, you have a product, build what you need for your product. And then we as a community can figure out how to interface with that. You know, the thing is, I mean, specs are great. But I think they also like there's an interop thing that has to happen here, where we can build a thing to interface with each other rather than, you know, everybody has to, you know, because like this, like with Russell's BLG thing, I think we could use something like the MetaBoost API spec to interface with a lot of these things. Like, I think that's the interface layer that we can have.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
I don't see that as competitor specs.
Well, I mean, we have bridges already between ActivityPub and Noster, which seems to work reasonably well.
Well, the one thing I expressed to Oscar is I'm like, well, I think developers are going to hit a wall of complexity with WebSockets.
Mm-hmm.
Because WebSockets are just not as easy as just doing an HTTP lookup.
I've rid my entire house of WebSockets. When we moved in here, I said, get rid of all those WebSockets. I don't want a single one.
Clean as a whistle.
Clean, yes.
And so, you know, I was like, well, you know, most Socket programming is harder than just doing a GET request.
Sure.
And or a post. And most people know how to, most developers already know how to do those. And so what he said was, well, why don't we, he said, why don't I do this? He said, why don't I go ahead with what we're doing with Nostr, and then I'll put in HTTP support where you can do lookups with just HTTP requests.
Perfect.
And so I'm like, you know, if you can do that, that'd be great. You know, and so then, you know, we can figure out. So that's one way we can figure out how to, yeah, just like Alex is saying, you don't have to hook into the stream. Then you can deal with HTTP.
Right.
And we can put something in front of that that looks like a more generalized interface layer or something like that. I don't know. Well, I think this is all, I mean, I've been so focused on trying to just get this, just get the payment part. Like, you know, that Ellen address options thing resolved, that I think the boost date metadata, that'll be sort of like next or whatever. But I'm not too worried about it. I think people can build what they want to build. And I think a generalized accepted standard will come out of it that we can all use. And, we'll figure out how to make it work.
Well, I must say that, you know, so I'm already publishing with a mini split to my Strike wallet. And believe me, I will be jumping up and down when I see payments come through. And then if I know where to get the information, I'll be even happier.
Yeah. I think we'll get there.
I think so too, Dave. I do.
You know, I just had like this, I've seen this happen so much before where we've gone through this process how many times?
A lot.
And we always get something at the end of it that works. So I'm not worried about it. We'll figure something out. But we do have an answer to this one pressing question, which is LN address. And that is thankfully a solved.
Good.
I am not changing my mind on this. I'm done. I'm done. I personally am done with this discussion. Everybody else can duke it out if they want, but I'm out of it.
Can we celebrate with a song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Because Monday, December 16th, live from Antone's in Austin, Texas, Adam Curry's Boostagram Ball Live. It will be streaming on all of the modern podcast apps. I'm very excited. We have a lot of really cool bands who are going to be performing, and a lot of developers, actually, who will be showing up in the audience. I got a guest list that's longer than the Queen's, I tell you. This guy will be performing Abel James, Live While I'm Alive, on Podcasting 2.0.
Will you see that beauty over there? I'm gonna make her mine. Gonna show her everything I got, 'cause I ain't worth a dime. They said, no, you won't. No, you won't. Boy, you must have lost your mind. I just found a ride for me, an 85 Mercedes Benz. A couple screws loose, need some TLC, but she found herself a friend. They said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Son, you must have lost your mind. You must have lost your mind. Said, I'm gonna live while I'm alive. Ain't nobody ever gonna change my mind. Oh no. So I said bye bye baby. Bye bye, bye, bye baby. I'm gone. Yeah, I'm gone. I said bye bye baby. Bye, you know I got my walking shoes on. Yes I do. I don't want this job no more. Play guitar all day, make my rent in smoky bars, rocking my blues away. They said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Kid, you must have lost your mind. You must have lost your mind. I said I'm gonna live while I'm alive. And ain't nobody ever gonna change my mind. Now I'm gonna drive across the country, have myself a time. Gonna grab my girl and my guitar, drop that old Benz into the night. They said, no, you won't. No, 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 you won't. Man, you must have lost your mind. You must have lost your mind. I said, I'm gonna live while I'm alive. And ain't nobody ever gonna change my mind. No, they won't. So I said, bye. I said, ain't nobody ever gonna change my mind. Never gonna change my mind.
Yeah, man, back to the days when songs were 5 minutes long. Abel James, Live While I'm Alive. I like that guy. I like him a lot.
I'm glad it was 5 minutes because I had to run to the fridge and grab a drink.
Oh, good. He's also he does podcasts and he's on fire, man. He's excited to be at Antone's Monday. Tickets nice. Still available.
Get them while they last.
That's right. It's a hot ticket. It's going to be great. Thank you for boosting Chad F and Silas on Linux. Appreciate that. I want to just say one other quick thing about, the ever ongoing video. I just have two things to say about it. You need video. If video, what is the most successful podcast category, Dave? I think you know the answer to this.
True crime.
If it's so important to have video to be successful, why don't all true crime podcasts have video?
Because it's not true.
Thank you. Second, so that's one. Second, do you know what the CPM, the advertising rate is, cost per thousand of a audio podcast? You can give me an average.
Isn't it usually somewhere around like $22, $23?
Yeah, let's just say 20. We'll lowball it. $20. Right. What is the CPM you get on YouTube?
Oh, I reckon it's like maybe $5.
Three.
That was high. Yeah.
So what are y'all talking about? Enough said, backslash, end rant.
Period.
Yes. Done.
I would like to, if we have, do we have time?
We have time.
Okay. I just want to throw this on the radar. I think it's time to start thinking about super chat transcripts for live items.
That's funny because I put in my notes for next week, that would be today, chat transcripts for live items, dash podping D. I don't know why. That's the line I wrote down on the last show, last board meeting.
Okay. Man, I got two of those things to talk about, and I don't know which.
Let's do chat transcripts for live items. Tell me what you're thinking.
Okay, that's good, because that'll let me get... I've been too busy to get Podping D up and running. That'll give me another week to get that going.
Okay, I'll leave it on the list, though. I'll leave it on the list.
Okay, all right. So, you know, I think it's something we all want, clearly. We want a transcript for, you know, for... Like, for in this instance, we're doing a live show. And then, so we need, we would want some way for when this live show becomes a normal podcast. So when it gets transferred from a live item to a regular item in the feed, we need some way to preserve the chat.
Ah.
If the podcaster so desires.
Right. A replay. You're talking about a chat replay.
Chat playback, yes.
Playback. Yes. So not transcripts is the wrong term. Well,
but it can't, but see, it could be a VTS. I mean, it could be a VTT. I mean, like it.
Oh, yeah, that's just the format. I'm just saying it's not really, but when you say, when I heard this, I was like, I didn't, the word chat fell away for me. I just like transcripts. So we have to do live transcripts. I was thinking completely incorrectly about what the topic was. So okay, when you say chat replay, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Chat. I called it a chat transcript, but it could be a chat playback, whatever you want to call. And
that's cool.
Yeah. We need some way. So there's two issues. There's two issues. There's one's going to be time sync. So where do you know, there has to be some way to sync up. And Alex is saying that there's in the chat, he's saying in the boardroom that there's some solutions for that. So we need some way to sync up the, so you know, okay, here's where the episode starts, but in the ether of time, where did the chat start? Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure those things are simultaneous. And then the other thing is how to preserve a reference to the live item such that you know that this transcript of the chat belongs to this item. So if that if you're recording it. Let's say IRC. Okay, we're the boardroom that is IRC.
Mm-hmm.
So something would be recording this IRC, or you know, interfacing with the IRC server to get the transcript of the IRC chat for this show. So then you would need some way to say, okay, this thing goes. Now this live item that had, let's say, and I'm just spitballing here,
mm-hmm.
this live item that had this GUID is now this item that has this other GUID, and we need to reference this chat transcript file.
Well, isn't that exactly what we already do with, what's the term I'm looking for? With value time split?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am setting a queue for each value time split. And now I have a tool for that called the split kit. But that seems like something that, you know, from a publishing side, you just have to do.
Now, the boardroom's going nuts because they're like, well, hey, this is, the boardroom published. I'm not saying that we're going to do that for this show. I'm just saying for people that want it. Mm-hmm. You know, for shows that want it. So like if somebody's doing a show that wants to do this, I feel like we need a spec for it.
It reminds me of the old days of video where you know, I'd be interviewing Paul McCartney and there'd be a guy there with a huge, big reel to reel videotape machine and a guy next to him with a Nagra. And then I'd have to look in the camera and go 3, 2, 1. and make a clap.
Everybody claps.
Yeah,
at the same
make
time.
Make yeah, one yeah, clap yeah. so they can sync it up with the video.
Yeah. No. That, I mean, maybe I don't know. You know, we'll have to see what we can. You know, what's out there. What Alex is talking about. So you know, there's. I don't want this. I want the board, like for this show, the boardroom is that's, you got to show up.
This is secret. Yeah. This is, yeah, this, yeah. this is the, no cone of silence here. No, no worries.
Yeah. If you want to know what's going on in the boardroom, you got to show up.
But I can see a show like No Agenda with the troll room. Oh, so many people would love to see their trolls. They would love, I know they would. They would, ah, this is great. Look, I trolled Adam and he responded, you know, but also, there's a lot of stuff that they give me that I then use immediately in the show. I mean, I can see a lot of podcasts that would like that. Not this one, but I can see a lot that would.
Well, it's a very popular thing on YouTube.
Yes, it
and
is.
And Twitch and all these other places. Yeah. There's clearly use cases for this. So, you know, I think those are the hurdles is getting time sync correct. And then, and figuring out the references.
Right.
And so I just wanted to put that on the radar so that's something we can think about. I'm probably going to, I'll post a discussion item about it just to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. I like
and
it.
And then, yeah. Yeah. Cause we're almost there with Super Chat. That's like the last thing. What reminded me of it is I watch the local weather, our weather guy, mm-hmm. James Spann does a morning weather briefing every morning at like 5 a.m. And I watch it pretty religiously. And he's always got a chat. I watch the replay at like 6 or 6:30. And he's always got the chat from earlier. The live chat comes through and it's being replayed while I'm watching. And I'm like, you know, this we need this. This is a missing hole. This is a hole.
I like it when if I don't watch him a lot anymore, but Scott Adams. If I watch him, I'll watch him with the chat replay.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah, sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. I selectively turn it on or off.
Yeah. Oh, Cotton Gin has been asking for this for years. Well, how come you haven't built it yet, Cotton Gin?
You're the IRC guru.
You are the IRC guru. Come on, man. Come on. Let's get it going for No Agenda. It'd be hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he already has the listen calculator for me and all that stuff. He's got all kinds of cool IRC things he's doing. No. He says, I'm dumb. Okay. Boy, that'll be fun to watch on the replay. okay. Well, dude, my brother, we've covered a lot. The only thing we didn't cover today is we have a business thing. That I promised I'd talk about here.
A business thing?
Yeah, a business thing. Yes. So, So people know that our new project is called Godcaster. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting problem. So at the beginning, we needed a placeholder for a logo. And you did something in I don't know, some AI thing. What'd you use for that?
Midjourney.
And it came up with this big G. And honestly, it's kind of grown on me.
I kind of like the big G. Yeah.
But we do have a small budget available for anyone who wants to create a logo. And if we use it, then we'll gladly buy it from you. Mm-hmm. And it's only for this group. We're not going to talk about it anywhere else. So if anybody, I mean, it can be prompt jockeyed or whatever. But we'd love to have some options to choose from because we're building our website and we're getting all kinds of things ready to market it. So it would be great. If anyone is interested, ping me and we'll see if, you know, and I'll let you know what we're doing.
But it has to be rad.
Oh no, it's gotta be rad. Obviously you're doing it for Jesus. Come on. You can't,
you can't do something for Jesus. It's not rad.
It's gotta be rad.
Get that out of here.
let's thank some people, before we leave.
All right.
We have Chad F, who boosted 1,000 sats. It says, listening, Live While I'm Alive by Abel James, live on PC 2.0. Thank you. Sloss on Linux, boosted for Abel James. And he just says, bye-bye, Spotify. 19,000 sats from user 36219770 over there on the fountains. Merry Christmas, Boardroom. Yeah, that guy's great. Merry Christmas, Boardroom. Sam Sethi, very active. He has many. Here we go. 1,000 sats. He says, Dave Weiner stole Netscape 0.91 from my friends who invented RSS, Mike Holm and Dan Libby. He then added a few updates and called it RSS 2.0. What a hypocrite. Hey, man, how come we didn't say that on your show? It doesn't count if you're just boosting it.
It's in the Brian cut.
1,000 from Sam. The install bar appears only if you have an iOS app in the App Store. Apple want you to switch to their proprietary App Store. Welcome to my world, frowny face.
Yeah, but if anybody understands the depths of PWA,
it's, you mean it's universal apps? I'm never gonna use the term PWA again. It's gonna be universal app. By the way, when people hit the little mobile icon on the Godcaster, that should pop up something that says, "Here's how you install it based upon the OS or the browser or whatever." It just hit me. I'm gonna file it. I'm a horrible GitHub filer. 777 from
means you don't do it.
That's right. 777 from Sam Sethi. Universal app. Install once. Run everywhere. Yeah, dude, that's something like that. Silas on Linux. 1111. Rename podcasting 2.0 to podcasting plus plus.
No,
we're not renaming anything. It has no name. We're just a bunch of people making podcasting better. Sam, man, stop drinking wine while boosting. It's illegal in the UK. There's only 1,000 sats.
No, don't stop.
There's
don't
only stop. One I like pussy. It. I want to call out Rip Van Winer. Okay, well,
jeez. Hey, it's your sats, man. You can do whatever you want.
Pod two. I think that's Russell, 3333. Decentralization thrives on diversity and innovation. No idea better than another until it's proven. Supporting new ideas in multiple systems ensures we grow stronger together instead of dismissing. Let's build, collaborate, and foster a culture where creativity leads the way. Hashtag decentralization, hashtag innovation, hashtag build together. Well, I think we covered all that.
Yep, for sure.
Alberto at RSS.com coming in from Podcast Guru with 1,000 sats. Got a bunch of rocket ships and a Christmas tree. Thank you.
Nice. Rocket Christmas tree.
Yes. Okay. And I've hit the delimiter, so you're up.
Oh, that's me. Okay. Let's see. We had no one-off PayPals, but we have some boostergrams. Let me see. Okay, here, I have to resort my emails. I'm now up to 1,178 unread emails in my inbox. Let's see. I did actually do some admin work, this morning.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, you were helping people. The help desk came through. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, look at that. Look at that.
You're like, oh, I didn't have to do that one. Okay. Let's see, CLOS on Linux, a Satchel Richard through Fountain. He says, I concur about 20,000 Hertz being a really interesting podcast.
Hmm.
That must be a comment.
I don't
to
remember
somebody
that
else.
One. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Cole McCormick, Satchel Richard through Fountain. He says, boosting in from Disneyland, the forces with the podcasting 2.0 crew. Always.
Wow.
Oh, from Disneyland. He's committed. Oh, Kyron, Mere Mortals. Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, just some words of encouragement to all. I regularly scour around the crypto space to see if there are any other projects addressing the value needs of musicians, podcasters, and artists in general. Everything I see is centralized and dependent on one chain. This is the only project that has the solid foundation for distributed RSS and adaptable protocol, the namespace and value tag, and the ethos to make it all make sense. V4V International Lifestyle. So despite the Albie blip, I am more enthused than ever. I love you all. And we love you too, Kyron.
I invited my friend Mark Hall to Antone's. And he's the documentarian. He has a documentary up. The Killing Ed documentary put up a long time ago on video.
Yeah. On NA2.
Yes. And it's... He says, oh, this is value for value and boosting and all that. It says, will my Hawktua coin work? I'm like, okay. No.
the shining example of rug pull.
Yeah, right. Poor girl. She got screwed over, man. She got an agent and then a bunch of shysters moved in.
Cole McCormick, Satchel Richards through Fountain. He says, I would like to encourage more thought and discussion around more podcasting apps integrating Noster. From my singular perspective and experience, I have really enjoyed going back and forth on Fountain and Primal. Also, considering that many V4V musicians are using it, Open Mic is into it for live events. I think it makes sense for the apps to go where the artists are. Well, that's
up to the apps.
It's up to the apps, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's the part you can't control. Silas on Linux, another Satchel Richie, he says, I have super secret projects too. They are so secret that I don't even make them. That way no one can ever know about it.
I know,
I've had a
right?
Few of those too.
Yeah, yeah. Many of those.
Mm-hmm. Delimiter, Cobb Strip blogger, 15,299 sats.
Nice.
Through Fountain, he says, hello, music connoisseurs, Adam and Dave. I have two things to share this time. Firstly, please check out my song. The lyrics were written by me, while the singing and music were generated through AI based on my detailed prompts. You can find it by visiting podcastindex.org and searching for CSB Serenade.
Okay.
Secondly,
go ahead. Keep reading. I'll look for it.
Secondly, Adam, could you explain why some V4V music podcasters refuse to play music hosted on Wavelake? I'm a bit confused about this. Yo, CSB.
You'd have to ask them. CSB. I don't really know. I have my thoughts about it. Let's listen to... This is the Eclair Serenade by Comic Strip Blogger, who is actually...
Since my earliest days, I've always craved, could never speak without a treat to save.
Oh man, I gotta put this in the value split. Hold on.
Urges inside, but the call of sweetness I could not hide. It's always easy to resist the treat.
Okay.
This has, if anybody knows the theme song, the GLaDOS theme song from Portal, gives me those vibes for sure.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, that's definitely some Portal vibes. We got some monthlies. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Podverse, Mitch and the Boys, $50.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Basil Phillip, $25. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Mitch Downey, $10. Hadn't heard from Sir Mitch in a while.
Yeah.
Terry
Thank you,
Keller,
Mitch.
$5. Chris Cowan, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. And ooh, Derek you. J. Visker, $21.
Thank you all very much. And a late boost from Sir Libre, Lightning Thrashes, A Short Row of Ducks, $22.22. Great meeting as always. I'm glad things seem to be settling down. We've got the best devs in the universe. There's nothing they can't accomplish. I agree.
Nice.
I agree. Dude, we have like a whole 10 minutes left if you want to talk about something. Or do you just want to get back to your exciting day job?
The problem is we don't have time to get into the other thing that I want to talk. Yeah. That okay. I want to talk about.
All right. Let's talk about this.
Go ahead.
No, please go.
No, I was just going to say, did you see Kara and Prof G are going to sell their podcast for eight figures?
They're going to sell their podcast? No, where was this?
That was in Hot Pod? Is it Hot Pod?
The Pivot podcast?
The Bloomberg newsletter thing.
It's for sale?
It was on, let's see. We'll see what Ashley says. Yeah, Pivot goes to market. Scott Galloway and Kara Swisher have become two of the biggest stars in podcasting, blah, blah, blah. This coming year, their deal with Vox will be up, and they've already begun seeking a potentially new partner for their flagship program, as well as their other shows, while asking for an up to eight-figure sum, according to people familiar with the conversations.
Well, that's interesting, because James on Pod News Weekly Review had a piece from the Prof G podcast saying that that podcast brings in $8 million a year?
Pivot, he said 10.
I thought it was 8 million. To 10. Okay, maybe. So 10, okay, $10 million a year. Why would you want to sell that to somebody?
This
take the cash flow, you dummies.
This is the...
It's bullshit is what it is.
Yeah, this is using his podcast to say publicly that they're making a lot of money to try to jack up the offers.
That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, that's a lot of money. And why would Vox give that up?
The other part of the story said that Vox still owns the feed. So any deal would have to include the feed. Otherwise, they would have to. And this is the other thing that doesn't make any sense. So she says in this
What's the name of this newsletter?
Soundbite. Let me see if. Soundbite.
With a Y?
I thought you got this newsletter.
I don't think so. Soundbite. And who writes it?
What's it's Bloomberg. Name? It's Ashley Carman.
Oh, Bloomberg. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Soundbite. And, Bloomberg. Got it.
But she says Pivot remains their most popular offering with over 278,000 followers on Spotify.
Hmm.
So you have 278,000 subscribers and you make $10 million a year. Those numbers don't add up to me.
Sounds a little sketchy. Hmm.
I mean, I know that's only on Spotify, but I mean, that would be a global number. So let's say double. Let's say it's double that. Let's say you have another 278,000 on Apple.
And they have let's do the numbers. So they have let's say they have a million. Why just do a million? Let's do a million.
All right.
So that's 1,000 CPMs. They have six spots. Right? So times
do
six.
Do they have six spots?
Yeah. Times six times let's say they're really great, 30.
Okay.
So what is that? Hold on a second. Calculator. Come on, ChatGPT. So it's 1,000 times 6 times 30 is, wow. So they have $180,000 an episode? And then times, they do twice weekly, times 110 is, wow, $19 million? Something's wrong. Something's off with these numbers. I'm sure that not every spot gets a $30 CPM, maybe only the first one.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you have like a post roll or something like that, that's not going to get a $30 CPM.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get a $30 CPM. And plus, I mean, you said a million followers. I don't think they get there.
I'm just thinking, screw this value for value stuff. Dvorak and I should go for CPMs, man. We'll make a killing. 4 more years, exit strategy.
You'll make a killing and you'll kill the show in 6 months.
Within 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
278,000 followers on Spotify. I'm thinking 600,000 total, maybe followers across all platforms. And that translates into, let's say, 600,000 downloads.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they have is they have very high end advertisers. And this is what bothers me. They're a so-called tech show. But, you know, when Apple advertises on your show, are you really going to tell people that Apple intelligence sucks? Or are you going to say, it's great, Scott?
Well, how many shows do they do per week of Pivot?
Two.
Okay, so that's 1,200 CPM, right? Because you got 600,000, which it would be 600 CPM.
Yeah.
Times two, 1,200 times 20. Let's just say $30 CPM.
Yeah.
$36,000 an episode.
Ah, my math was off by an amazing amount. Yes.
No, that's $36,000 a week. I'm sorry. So
a week,
times
right.
52.
Right.
That's $1.9 million. That's $2 million a year.
Yeah. That sounds reasonable. That sounds more like what it probably is. But, you know, in high-end advertisers, they could be asking a huge amount. They read them. So you don't know. You don't know what the deal is. But I think 10 million and then saying we're for sale. Okay. To speak with Prof. G language, if I were you, boss, I would get my own sales team and just get the Rolodex that you already have and take the money. Why do you need it up front? You're all rich.
Yeah. I mean, and they both already have money. So, I mean, yeah. This is just, that didn't make any sense to me.
Smells like a scam.
I'm sure they're making. I'm sure they're making seven figures easily. I mean, they're making probably, $5 million or something. That wouldn't surprise me. Because, as advertising goes up and down. But nobody, I just don't see how anybody's going to come in and buy them for what, like $20 million or something like that. Why would they do that?
Well, I will be interested to hear that. I think they have a new show coming out today. So maybe they talk about it. It's my hate listen. Can't wait. I'm excited. Hate listens are the best.
I've dropped the ball on the media.
It's been a little hard. Yeah. Ever since they self-analyzed that no one cares about them. Mm-hmm. When they thought that they were important, that's when it was still cool. still a good hate listen. All right. I'm letting you off, brother. You got 5 minutes. Right. This is perfect. Actually, we're at top of the hour. Got to go home. And thank you very much, Boardroom. Thank you for being here. We will not have a show next week because I will be in transit from Amsterdam to Italy. And we probably won't have a show the week after that because it's the day after Christmas.
It's the day after Christmas? Is Christmas on a Wednesday this year? It'll be 2 days after Christmas.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. In Europe, they celebrate 2 days of Christmas. They have Christmas on the 25th.
You get double Christmas in
Europe?
You
do. Well, in the UK, it's called Boxing Day. And in the rest of Europe, it's called Second Christmas Day. I swear to God.
No, you're kidding.
Yes.
It's literally called Second Christmas?
Second Christmas Day. Yes. Yes.
I feel cheated now. I want two Christmases too.
And we will be flying back on that Friday. So we'll be off for 2 weeks, but then we'll be cracking in the new year with brand new podcasting 2.0 board meetings. Brother Dave, have a great weekend.
How you too, man.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you in the new year right here on 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I don't want your left wing app.
I don't want your lefty app.